Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19-96. M.R., Number 76. Location and Work of Pacific Union College. Release requested by the Department of History of Pacific Union College for reference and use. Deeming it no longer safe to entrust our youth with infidels or with irreligious teachers, or even with teachers who would poison their minds with doctrinal errors, we have erected our present commodious home and college in Healdsburg. We saw the necessity of religious training being interwoven with their education, also of their knowing something of the different trades and branches of business. In order for them to develop symmetrical characters, they need not only the advantages of a thorough intellectual training, but of a training of the physical powers. Then their mental capabilities will develop proportionately. It is painful to see how many one-sided, half-developed characters there are in our world. Our churches today show that these defects have been brought into the religious life to the great detriment of the church. There is a great work to be done for our youth. Our college must not do any haphazard work. The taste of those who attend it must be refined, their imagination pure and correct, and all their aspirations ennobled and purified through the copy that is constantly kept before them, Jesus Christ. If they learn to come into subjection to His sway and are controlled by pure, elevating motives, they may go forth fitted for any position of responsibility or trust. Young men have a work to do in this life which they will be unable to perform unless they form correct habits. Every soul that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus has a destiny to fulfill. No one liveth to himself. All exert an influence for good or for evil. The injunction of the apostle is that they are to be co-workers with Christ and partakers with him of his self-denial, his self-sacrifice, his forbearance, and gracious benevolence. Says the apostle, "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." 1 John 2, verse 14. You are God's agents to work for the upbuilding, the advancement of His cause. Therefore, you should put away all levity, jesting, and joking which is not convenient. Put away your spendthrift habits, and learn habits of economy. Be not seeking after amusements, live not for your own selfish gratification. Be sober-minded. In your God-given manhood, rise above every enslaving, debasing habit and practice, and encourage a due appreciation of your high calling. Ponder well the paths your feet are treading. Search your Bibles carefully and prayerfully. Study the waymarks, and inquire diligently whether your feet are in the path leading heavenward or in the path leading to perdition. You need to learn more of God and of heaven. How important that you start right, that you begin active life aright. A little diverging from the path of right at starting will lead you farther and farther away from the path of safety and happiness. One step taken carelessly will place you upon the enemy's ground and oppress and benumb the intellectual and moral energies. We are living in an age of infidelity and disloyalty to God. Bad dispositions, hereditary tendencies, are opposed to the gospel of Christ. All the miserable traits of character, all the depravity and overflowing profligacy which prevails in our world, is because the law of God is not made the standard of character. Satan is working with pleasing fables upon the minds of professed Christians to make of none effect the law of God, which is the detector of sin. God wants faithful men to press firmly against the wiles of Satan and urge the truth against destructive errors and delusions. Our college is far-reaching in its principles. It has for its one great object the education and training of young men and women for usefulness in this life and the service of God. If these youth have an eye single to God's glory, they will seek to fit themselves for His special service. The love of Christ will have a controlling influence upon their everyday life. This object imparts an energy more than finite and qualifies for achievements that are divine. Their works will show some proportion of the strength of their motives. The salvation of men for whom Christ has paid an infinite price will be their grand aim. All other considerations, home, family, social enjoyment, are secondary to this. The worker for God must reach for men where they are, immersed in darkness, sunken in vice, and stained with corruption. Thus it was that Christ showed His love for fallen man. He came from a heaven of bliss where He was appreciated, loved, and honored, to our world to meet man in his fallen condition. His work was to reform men and fit them for a pure and holy heaven. He stopped at no sacrifice. He hesitated not at any self-denial. He, for our sakes, became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Jesus had a great deal of rough work to do among a rough, uncultured, depraved class. He reached for men where they were, and adapted His process of working to the material He had to work upon. The workers for God must work as Christ worked. They must take in and understand the conditions of the beings for whom they work, in order to gain the victory. Whoever would be an effective co-worker with God in the vineyard of God must expect no better portion and treatment than had the world's Redeemer. They must expect to bring their ministry to the understanding of the men for whom they labor. Those will attend the college who have no settled principles, no fixed purpose. They have no sense of God's claims upon them. Unless they can be inspired with courage, lofty aims, and a burning desire to improve their talents, to increase their knowledge, that they may increase their usefulness, they would be better tilling the soil at home. Those who have a purpose to labor for the salvation of souls must not have moral cowardice, but pure, elevated motives. The hours of these will be hallowed, their opportunities appreciated. They will drink in knowledge. They will be representatives of industry, sobriety, punctuality. They will ever advocate order and discipline. They will be caretakers. There will be nothing loose or lax, but they will have sturdy, persevering resolutions and earnest fidelity. God would have His workers aim at perfection and strive earnestly for it. As they go out, they will meet worldly men. Some are coarse and rough. Others are intelligent and having the worldly polish. These all must have the mold of Christ's character. The people have a right to expect that the one who presents himself as a teacher of Bible truths shall be refined in manners. They will pass severe judgment upon the man who claims to be a teacher and is not refined and courteous. He should be able to command the respect of all. Young men should go forth from the college qualified for this work by diligent study and faithful training. All bad ways and coarse ways should be avoided, and a strict guard should be placed over the mind and manners, lest they fall into erroneous ways of speaking and acting. The teachers in our schools should labor strenuously to have their own voices and manners as nearly right as possible. But little is gained in devoting all the time to the study of books, while the manners and the voice are neglected. They should impress upon the students under their charge the importance of self-culture, and then the student should take himself in hand to practice the lessons taught, that he may overcome incorrect habits of utterance. If these wrong habits are carried through their college education, they will have become fixed and very difficult to overcome. Intelligent youth often thus hinder their own success by retaining faults which earnest, painstaking efforts would overcome. If they would take themselves resolutely in hand, they would succeed in changing their habits and their manners at once and forever. There is great pathos and music in the human voice, and if the learner will make determined efforts, he will acquire habits of talking and singing that will be to him a power to win souls to Christ. The teachers in our schools should not tolerate in the students ungainly attitudes and uncouth gestures, wrong intonations in reading, or incorrect accents or emphasis. Perfection of speech and voice should be urged upon every student. Because of carelessness and bad training, habits are often contracted which are great hindrances in the work of a minister who has otherwise educated talent. The student must be impressed that he has it in his power, by combining divine grace with effort, to make himself a man. The mental and physical capabilities with which God has adorned him may, by cultivation and painstaking effort, become a power to benefit his fellow men. All connected with our college as teachers and workers should be God-fearing men and women, hating sin, despising every temptation that will lead to pollution. They should stand firm as a rock to duty, feeling that they have a responsible work for the performance of which they must render an account to God. Every teacher in our college should feel a deep interest that the youth should receive such a training and discipline that they may go forth from the college with higher, holier motives and firmer principles than when they entered the school. They should not only become efficient in the sciences, but the intellect should expand and strengthen and develop, and they should grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. While cultivating the mind, they should cultivate the uprightness of heart, that stern integrity that Joseph possessed. Then they will scorn to yield to temptation that will sully their purity. Like Daniel, they will resolve to be true to principle and to make the very best use of the intellect with which God has endowed them. Pure, genuine religion never deadens the intellect, but it awakens the highest, noblest thoughts, and strengthens the intellect to exercise its powers to the utmost limit. It is impossible for teacher or student to be connected with the God of wisdom without his intellect becoming developed and strengthened through the grace of Christ. He may then become a man of power to lead other souls to divine truth. The greatest work of the teacher is to lead those under his charge to be intellectual Christians. Then the mental and moral powers will develop harmoniously, and they will be fit for any position of trust. Divine grace will give clearness and force to the understanding. To faith will be added a virtuous character, and they will be a bright light in the world. They present the power of Christianity in the well-ordered life and godly conversation. They will despise cheap, foolish jesting and joking. They will adorn the doctrine of Christ. The principles of truth are inwrought in their lives, and bright beams of light will shine forth from them to the world in good works. Their righteousness goes before them, as in the case of Daniel, and the glory of the Lord is their reward. The Lord has said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. God's word will be fulfilled. not a jot or tittle of it will fail. Many who will stand before the throne of God wearing the white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, will be the sheaves that faithful example and earnest effort has brought to the Master. Be sure, my brother, that the testimonies of reproof that the Lord has given to Battle Creek are to be carefully considered. Avoid everything that in the past has made such reproofs necessary. Healdsburg College need not now have been loaded with debt if the expenses had been carefully considered, and the outlay made proportionate to the income. It will not answer to incur debt during the very first term of school. Avondale. This warning was given to Battle Creek, but it was not heeded. Debts were piled up which should never have been incurred. Term after term, the same mistake has been made, yet they continue to follow former arrangements. This is not wise management. Much more careful pioneering must be done here, Avondale, than was done at Healdsburg or at Battle Creek. It is an easy thing to place the expense of the students very low, but it is not so easy to make the outgo meet the income. Haphazard work cannot be done in this school. We have not the funds to draw that the schools in America have, and there is need for the greatest economy. Those who are traveling, in the place of favoring themselves with a meal at an expensive hotel, should buy some bread and fruit, and thus save a shilling. Letter 89, 1897, pages 8, 9. To Brother and Sister Lacey, June 30, 1897. It is God's desire that greater attention shall be paid to the spiritual necessities of the children and youth in the Healdsburg School, and in all our schools. When the managers of our schools make up their minds to carry out the principles which for years God has been presenting to them, they will be far better prepared to give attention to the spiritual needs of the students.
If in the past those in charge of the Healdsburg School had had spiritual foresight, they would have secured the land near the school home, which is now occupied by houses. The failure to furnish the students with outdoor employment in the cultivation of the soil is making their advancement in spirituality very slow and imperfect. The result of this neglect should lead the teachers to be wise unto salvation. It is a mistake for so many dwelling houses to be crowded close to the school home. This is working greatly to the disadvantage of the students. A lack of wisdom was shown by the failure to secure the land round the school home. This will make the work of preserving order and maintaining discipline harder than it otherwise would be. But order must be preserved at any cost, and the workers in the school must plan how this shall be done most successfully. 11. 1901, 6, 7. Words of Instruction to the Church at Healdsburg, February 5, 1901. Brother Cady came to St. Helena on the morning train yesterday, and I had some talk with him before dinner. He told me that I had told him to keep his eyes open as he traveled from place to place for a favorable place in which to establish the school, and that he had found one place that seemed suitable. It is 6 or 7 miles from Sebastopol, and there are 150 acres of excellent land. The property is owned by a lady who bought it for a health resort. She has had as many as 150 people there at one time. The house on the place is not an expensive building, yet every room is commodious. There are 30 acres of orchard, and the trees are in bearing. There are 40 acres of forest land covered with oak, pine, and other kinds of trees. The lady would like to sell part of the land to meet a mortgage on the property. Brother Cady asked her if she would like to sell the whole property, and she very decidedly said no. Afterward, he received a letter from her saying that she would sell the property for $15,000. He wrote and asked her if this was the lowest price that she would take, but he has not yet received a reply. Brother Katie is very favorably impressed with the place. There would be ample room for agricultural work to be carried on by the students. There is an abundant supply of water and no frost. He thinks that oranges would grow there. When you come home again, you must go to see this place. Letter 87, 1904, pages 1, 2. To W.C. White, February 15, 1904. There is some thought of moving the Healdsburg School to a rural district where the students will have more opportunity to engage in agriculture, carpentering, and other lines of manual work, and Brother Katie is on the lookout for a suitable place. Letter 141, 1904, page 2. To Edson and Emma White, April 27, 1904. We are now at Lodi, attending the camp meeting. The meeting is drawing to a close, and we expect to leave here Sunday morning. We are leaving the grounds a little before the meeting closes, hoping to meet some of the brethren who are looking for a site for the Healdsburg School. The lot of land that the brethren have in mind is near Sebastopol. Professor Reed is very anxious that Willie and I shall see the place and give advice as to whether we should settle the school there. Letter 146, 1908, pages 1, 2. To Mrs. Bree, May 9, 1908. I will write only a few lines to you this morning. I have had quite a serious time since I came from Lodi. I took cold and have been quite seriously afflicted. I have been told that it is announced that I am to speak to the school at Healdsburg next Sabbath. I shall put my trust in the Lord. He is my strength and my wisdom. I would like to have you tell me which of the two places the brethren have in view as a possible location for the school. You think to have the best advantages. W.C. White favors the place at Santa Rosa, and this is much less in price. Please tell me how you view the matter. I am expected to look at the place next Friday. I shall be on the ground about noon of that day. I will be glad to have you respond at once to this and let me know which of the two sites you think the most suitable. Letter 154, 1908, page 1. To Elder and Mrs. Haskell, May 19, 1908. We have long wanted to move our conference school from Healdsburg and have kept inquiring of the Lord, what shall we do? Several good offers of properties suitable for a school site have been made by different landowners. Excellent farming lands in the vicinity of Lodi and elsewhere were offered, but it did not seem best to accept any of these. We believed that the school should be located in some place more retired than any we had thus far seen. Some months ago, while the brethren were still searching for a suitable school site, they were informed of a desirable property for sale near the town of Sonoma. On the morning of September 2nd, in company with several members of the committee on a school location, we visited this property. We were met at the railway station by two gentlemen with hired teams, in which we were taken to view the site in question. Before reaching the Buena Vista property, we were shown another property, a fine house, surrounded by beautiful orchard lands. But this did not seem like any of the properties that we had hoped to find. From this place, we were driven to the Buena Vista property that had been regarded by some of our brethren as a possible location for the school. We found, about 2 miles from the town of Sonoma, and some distance from any house, a large tract of land on which was a large, beautiful dwelling, called the castle, and several smaller buildings. We found the castle to contain 3 stories with 12 spacious rooms on each floor, besides a basement, and a large cupola above the third story capable of being converted into good rooms. I ascended the stairs to the second story and partially viewed the rooms on the first two floors. This was as far as I could venture, but the brethren who had visited the property before this reported that they had examined the rooms on the next story and found them to be as well furnished and fitted as those I had seen. Each floor was furnished with excellent bathroom accommodations. As I descended to the first story again, I had little to say. I believed that here was a property that corresponded with representations given me. We drove over the grounds, but did not examine them thoroughly. We were in the midst of mountain scenery, and in the spacious ground surrounding the house were many and beautiful trees. At some distance from the castle stood a large stone winery, now being used as stables for cattle. There were some fruit trees on the place, and near to the main building, a hot spring which fed an artificial pool. There was an abundance of pure, soft water, which was conducted by pipes to the different buildings. After a hasty view of the grounds, for our time was limited, we left, to take the cars again for Oakland. But I was impressed that this was just such a location for our school as we had been looking for. Here was a large tract of land away from the cities, where we could have an abundance of water and wood and a healthful climate. In this retired place, we could ward off a large class of temptations which in a less favored place would be presented through manifold agencies. There was one perplexity. Where could we obtain the means to secure this property, so well supplied with many of the advantages we needed? We feared that the price asked by the owner was more than we could consider, and felt that we must take time to think over the proposition. That night in my dreams, I seemed to be making plans in regard to this property. One spoke to me and said, "How were you impressed with this location?" I replied, "Favorably, but I do not see how we can purchase. We have not the means. We might lessen the price by selling the stone winery." "You cannot do that," our advisor said. "If you should do so, parties who do not regard the seventh day would be at work on the land on the Sabbath. Your only plan will be to purchase the entire property and keep every part of it under your control. Not one foot of the land should be allowed to come under the control of those who would work it on the Sabbath day." The following morning, we had some conversation with Brother Cavell. He had a map of the whole district, and he placed this before us for our examination. He pointed out several things that we might do to lessen the purchasing price of the property. But it seemed clear that the wisest plan would be to leave no part unpurchased. We must have the land under our full control. I said, "In having land to cultivate, ample opportunity will be given to the students to work brain and muscles equally. Here the students can build cottages, as many are trained to do in the school near Madison, Tennessee, and gain practical knowledge in many lines that will make them useful members of society. And this kind of training will help fit them to go forth to other places as educators. It would be well if the students in all our schools could learn to make the most of brain and bone and muscle. When they go out as laborers to foreign countries, such students will find their knowledge of practical work of the highest value, not only to themselves, but to those also for whom they labor. Those who learn to work in simplicity after Christ's own manner of labor will accomplish much in the fulfilling of the command of Christ that we preach the gospel to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. If ever it has been essential that we understand and follow right methods of teaching and follow the example of Christ, it is now. I now ask the members of our churches in the California Conference to help us raise the money to purchase this desirable property and to furnish the school home with good but simple furniture.
Shall we not seek to make this school a school after the Lord's order? We ask you not to let this opportunity pass by of making this school what the Lord would have it. We need your help, that this school may be secured to us and manned with wise, well-balanced teachers. We believe that our brethren will help at this time. We cannot afford to delay the matter. It must be settled at once, if we would secure the property. I send you this invitation to help in this emergency. If the brethren and sisters will act a part in this work, the Lord will bless them in doing it. I ask our churches in California to consider just now what they can do in coming to the help of the Lord in this time of opportunity. Those who have not the money to send immediately can pledge. Money can be hired on the strength of your pledges. Brethren Cottrell and Knox are straining every nerve to bring this matter to a successful issue. Let us do all we can that there may be no failure. Let us humble our hearts before God and pray in faith. The Lord will work wonders through a self-denying people, endowing them with a rich measure of grace to work for the salvation of souls. Christ's example is before us. Let us, as his followers, make his example ours. The judgments of God are in the land, and Christ is soon to come. Fire and flood and earthquake are warning us that the end of all things is at hand. Believers need to arise to their privileges and responsibilities. Our understanding needs to be quickened daily by the Holy Spirit. We need to stand humble and contrite before God. It is no time to lift up our souls in pride or to manifest carelessness and indifference. We need to arouse and give to our youth the evidence that we believe this last message of warning. Let us lay our free will offerings upon the altar of the Lord. In doing this, we are only giving him what is already his, for Christ has paid the price for our redemption. Ye are not your own, Christ declares, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. Letter 322, 1908, pages 1-5. To the members of our churches in the California Conference, November 1st, 1908. I am anxious to have the business relating to the purchase of our conference school closed up. I have been solicited to write out the light that was given me concerning this school location, which I have done. I will send you a copy of the letter I wrote. Near Modesto, 100 acres of land was offered us as a gift if we would establish our school there. But I could not see anything to invite us in the level roads and broad lands almost destitute of trees. When the question was asked, "Shall we accept this offer?" I said, "No, we cannot accept it. It does not offer the advantages our teachers and students should have." Another offer of 100 acres was also made to us, but we were not clear to accept. Then we were encouraged to inspect the Buena Vista property near Sonoma. In the retirement of this place, its wooded lands and its abundance of water, in the well-furnished house with every convenience, I saw that which answered to representations that had been given. Brother Covell has made a thorough investigation of the orchard and says the fruit is excellent. That is an advantage that we can appreciate. After I returned to Oakland, I was instructed in the night season that the only safe course for us to pursue in the purchase of this property was to secure every foot of the land. I was shown that none of it should be allowed to come under the control of those who would work it on the Sabbath day. We therefore planned to purchase the whole. The proposition is to buy the property for $45,000,
the owner taking over the Healdsburg School boarding house in part payment of the same. This will help us very much. Elders Cottrell and Knox and those who are interested in the matter are in favor of purchasing. We are to have 60 days in which to close the bargain. Elders Cottrell and Knox are attending to the business. We shall be very thankful when the matter is finally settled. For weeks, I have been able to sleep but a few hours each night. I have been very anxious that this matter of the school location should be brought to a successful issue. We must have the best location possible, the best teaching ability, the best preceptor we can secure. While arrangements for the purchase of the Buena Vista property have been in progress, I have carried a heavy burden on my mind, fearing lest we should not come into possession of just the place we need. Letter 324, 1908, pages 1 to 3. To James Edson White, November 3, 1908.
Let us obtain all the means possible as straight gifts. If today more gifts were brought into the Lord's treasury, the sacrifice would yield a rich harvest. In Kurenbong, we were thankful to obtain means and to pay a low rate of interest for their use. But we would say to all, make your gifts as large as possible, for borrowing large sums of money may lead to future embarrassment to the one who is using the money. Let this point be guarded in the matter of moving the school from Healdsburg to be established in another place. For many years, Healdsburg has been an educating center. But the time has now come when the school should be moved to a location where we shall have better advantages. Let all who can possibly do so place their money in this enterprise as a gift. When we think of what Christ has done for us, this will not be regarded as a great sacrifice. He has given his commission to his disciples, as workers who are to lay the foundations of his church in various fields. To establish educational centers is a part of their work. Letter 330, 1908, page 2. To Elder Haskell, November 11, 1908. I have read your letter, and I thank you for your interest. I desired very much to be at the meeting at Nashville, but I felt that I could not attend this meeting and go to Washington as well. I have just had to hire $1,500 from the bank in order to relieve Elder Haskell in a situation that was forced upon him. It related to a business transaction connected with the Buena Vista property. A lot containing over 17 acres of land situated next to the school property, one of our workers was thinking of purchasing for the purpose of establishing a cripple's home, but was not willing to pay more than $1,500 for it. The land could not be secured for less than $2,000. After the purchase was made, Brother Vaughn felt that he could not pay more than $1,500, and so the property was left on Elder Haskell's hands. We felt that we could not let this piece of land go back into the hands of unbelievers, and Elder Haskell asked me if I would not buy it. I consented to do this, and the place is now in my name. To do this, I have hired $1,500 from the bank at 8%. Now Elder Haskell's mind will be relieved, and he will not need to worry any longer. We do not know for what this piece of land will be used. It would make a splendid site for a church, but that matter can be decided later. I understand that you have not seen this property at Sonoma. It is a large tract of land on which stands a large, beautiful building called the Castle. The building has three stories and basement, with 12 spacious rooms on each floor. The property is a mile or two from the town of Sonoma and some distance from any house. I have paid one visit to this place, but at that time could not go farther than the second floor. I hope to visit it again as soon as the brethren have secured the abstract, giving them the right to take possession. Then I hope to drive over from St. Helena to Buena Vista and spend some time there. We thank you for your offer in behalf of the Sonoma School. We need help just now. Letter 2, 1909, pages 1, 2. To Mrs. J. Gotzian, January 1, 1909. For some time we have been deeply interested in the matter of securing a place for our school where we might find the very things we need in order that our educational interests may be advanced in right lines. With some of the brethren, I have looked at several locations. At one place, there was a large berry patch that yielded abundantly, but there was little land that could be cultivated. This was not a place suitable for our school. Our school should be located where the students can receive an education broader than that which the mere study of books will give. They must have such a training as will fit them for acceptable service if they are called to do pioneer work in mission fields, either in America or in foreign countries. There must be land enough to give an experience in the cultivation of the soil, and to help largely in making the institution self-supporting. Last spring, some of us drove up into Lake County, and I looked carefully along the way, but saw nothing that was desirable as a location for our college. On our return from Southern California last September, we were asked by some of our brethren to look at some places near Sonoma. From the station, we were driven in carriages to a place where there were two large houses situated in the midst of a very large orchard. I told the brethren that this was not the place for which I was looking, and that we could not afford to occupy these houses for a school, even if they should be given to us. From there, we went to the Buena Vista property, and were shown the beautiful house. We looked through the large rooms on the first and second floors, and were told that the rooms on the third floor were just the same. After leaving the house, we drove quickly over some portions of the land. Consideration of what I saw and the description given of other parts of the property made it plain that here were many most precious advantages. It was away from the strong temptations of city life. There was abundance of land for cultivation, and the water advantages were very valuable. All through the mountains there were little valleys where families might locate and have a few acres of land for garden or orchard. The many pipes laid over the grounds made it possible to use water freely, both for the buildings and for the land. The buildings were to me a very convincing argument in favor of this property. With the buildings already erected, we can begin schoolwork without delay, and the students can receive a most valuable education in putting up the other buildings that may be necessary. Besides the main building and the barns, there are two large stone wineries, and these can all be used to good advantage. During the night following this visit, I seemed to be viewing the land, while a messenger was pointing out to me its many advantages. The next morning I asked to see Brother Covell, as I had been informed that he had examined the property. Brother Covell brought with him a map showing the location and extent of the land. It had been suggested that we buy the place and sell off the greater part of the land, keeping only that which surrounded the buildings. Then I remembered the words that had been spoken to me during the night season. It is the purpose of God that, if we take any of this property, we secure the whole. We must have control of the whole tract. The land must not be shared with men who would be at work on the Sabbath, for if this were done, we should find ourselves brought into a very unfavorable position. There must be no opportunity for unbelievers to locate near the school buildings, or to keep a place where intoxicating liquors might be sold. We must have no persons on the ground who would claim a right to carry on their business as they pleased. The whole tract must be under our own supervision. It seemed to me that if the whole tract of land could be obtained, it would be an ideal place. For here the students could find abundance of outdoor employment, and thus could combine mental and physical training. When I learned that the entire property could be purchased, I felt like praising the Lord. I know that if He wants us to have this place, it will be brought about in such a way that we shall not have to be united with those who do not observe the Sabbath of the Lord. Here will be a place for our school where the youth can obtain just the education that is essential. In this school which shall be established, we want to demonstrate what the higher education is. We must have the physical and the mental training combined. Our bodies must have exercise. There have been many deaths because of a lack of sufficient exercise to maintain the health. I need not speak at length regarding the Buena Vista property. Others, doubtless, will describe it better than I. But I will say that it corresponds to representations made to me as an ideal location for our school more perfectly than anything else I have seen. Its advantages are beyond estimate. I have been waiting patiently for the Lord to bring the place into our possession. God is now bringing a test upon His people in this field. This test is whether or not they will do their very best to come into possession of the Buena Vista property. I have faith that God has been leading in this matter, and although I had but little money to invest, I borrowed $1,500 from the bank and invested $2,000 in a piece of land that should be included in the purchase of the property. This piece of land had been sold off from the tract previously to our purchasing, but it also should be under our control. We desire our school to be in a retired place, but there is a work to be done for the community in which we may be located. There are cities and towns all around that can be worked by the teachers and students, and we hope this summer to hold a good camp meeting right on this property and to arouse an interest among the people of Sonoma to hear more of the truth for this time. This property is going to cost something, but if everyone will do his duty in the fear of God, we can establish a school that will be pleasing to the Lord. There we will sing His praises and teach His truth and magnify His name. I have wished that we might come quickly into possession of the property. But there was some advantage in delay because we now have more time to raise the money to pay for the place. Let our people now take hold disinterestedly and obtain the means, so that when they say to us, "Here is a clear title," we can take the deed and say, "Here is the money for your place."
The Lord wishes us to exercise faith at every step. He wants us to manifest a faith in His working. Let us trust Him and seek to work in harmony with His providence. I am confident that the Lord has wrought for us, and that if we will conduct our school in the fear of God, there will never again be upon it such a debt as exists at present. We have determined that the past experience shall not be repeated. Our schools are a very important factor in our work. We want to educate our youth so that they will work in harmony with the mind and the will of God. We desire to help them to prepare their hearts to work in harmony with Jesus Christ, the great teacher. In support of His teachings, He could say, "It is written." He carried the light of truth wherever He went. So our students, after they have received a training, will be ready to be transferred from the school to mission fields in all parts of the world. These fields are opening, and calls for help are coming from every side more than we can supply. Let everyone take an interest in this matter, and let all who can do so make free will offerings to help in the purchase of this property. The Lord could create an abundance of means for the carrying forward of His work. He could furnish the means without asking His people to make any sacrifice. The gold and the silver is His. All that we possess, even our own souls and bodies, are His. But the Lord has never worked this way. You remember how, when the sanctuary was to be built in the wilderness, He called on all the people to make their free will offerings.
and they all wanted a part in the blessing. They gave until the leaders could say, "It is enough. Bring no more offerings." So we desire to see every soul of our people have a share in the blessing that comes from returning to the Lord that which is his own. There is a blessing in it for everyone who will act his part. When we come up to the time for settlement, and they say to us, "Here is the deed," we want to be able to reply, "Here is the money." We desire to see in this place an institution where many youth shall be educated to go forth as missionaries for the Lord. We hope to see a marked revelation of the salvation of God, and this we shall see if we will open our hearts and purses to help in this matter. In regard to the Buena Vista property, I would say, if a small increase in the price is required, advance something on this. It will be better to do this than to give up all the advantages to be obtained by securing this property. We must work with sanctified perception. It is not at all strange that the enemy should work through these men. I am sure it would be right to advance more means in order to secure a clear title. I write this because I do not want the property to be lost to our work. I hope you will consider what I have written and reason from cause to effect. You can place this matter before Brethren Knox and Cottrell. This may appear to you to be a strange proposal, but I would advise you to bring the trade to a conclusion as quickly as possible. Letter 74, 1909, page 3. To Elder Haskell, April 27, 1909. Home again! From the General Conference of 1909 in Washington, D.C. When we reached home, a camp meeting had just begun at Fruitvale, but I was not able to attend the first few days of meeting. While crossing the Sierra Nevada mountains, the last night of our journey, I suffered with great weakness of the heart. Sarah and Willie feared I might not live to get home, but soon we left the high altitude and I was better. But I reached St. Helena in a very weak condition. The night we arrived at home, we received a message asking us to go up the following day to see the property that had been purchased for the Pacific College. The brethren thought that this property possessed many advantages over that at Buena Vista, and as the owner of the Buena Vista place could not give us a clear title, it was thought advisable to purchase this. We left home early on the morning of September 10th, driving in my easiest carriage. It was a 5-mile climb to the top of the hill. Then, when about 1 mile from the property, the country became more level. Elder Irwin met us at the place and showed us something of the grounds and buildings. As we drove along, I marked the advantages over the Buena Vista property. True, there was not here the fine, costly building that the Sonoma property, but there were a number of buildings in good repair, and such as could be easily adapted to the needs of the school. The largest of the dwellings was a house of 32 rooms, and in addition to this, there were 4 cottages. All the rooms were well planned, and substantially, but not extravagantly furnished. Everything about the houses and grounds looked clean and wholesome.
There are 1,600 acres of land in the property, 105 acres of which is good arable land. 20 acres of this is an orchard. We were much pleased with the fruit that we saw. At the time of our visit, there were many workers on the ground taking care of the prunes, some gathering the fruit, others preparing it for drying. The large corn barn was filled to the roof with the best of lucerne hay harvested from the land. In the carriage house, we saw 8 buggies and wagons. There were 20 milch cows, 13 horses, and 6 colts included in the trade. The place has many sanitarium advantages. Here is a large bathhouse with good swimming tank and many dressing rooms. There are 4 bathrooms supplied with good porcelain bathtubs.
The water for this swimming tank is supplied from springs on the place, is constantly flowing in and out through pipes in the sides of the enclosure. Now, I have tried to describe this place to you, though I have not seen it as fully as some others. I was a very sick woman on the day that I visited the property, and was not able to climb more than one flight of stairs in the main building. I did not dare to excite my heart by overexertion. But it was thought best that I should visit the place as soon as possible and pass my judgment on it as a site for our school. I am very pleased with the place. It has many advantages as a school location. We are thankful for the abundant supply of pure water flowing from numerous springs and thrown into large tanks by three hydraulic rams, also for the good buildings, for the good farmland, and for the hundreds of acres of woodland on which there are many thousands of feet of saw timber. We are thankful also for the machinery, which is all in such good order, for the furniture, which, though it is not fine, is good and substantial, for the fruit that is canned and dried, and which will be much appreciated by teachers and students this first year of school. When we learned that we were not going to be able to secure the Sonoma property, an assurance was given to me that a better place was provided for us, where we could have many advantages over our first selection. As I have looked over this property, I pronounce it to be superior in many respects. The school could not be located in a better spot. It is 8 miles from St. Helena and is free from city temptations. The entire cost is $60,000. $60,000. $40,000 of this money has been raised, and we hope the balance will soon be forthcoming. Our people see that this property is much better than we hoped to be favored with. It is situated only 6 miles from the sanitarium where Dr. Rand is head physician. The leading workers of these two institutions can cooperate in their work to carry forward the work of sanitarium and school solidly. In Professor Irwin and wife, we have excellent workers. Professor Irwin will be the principal of the school. They have no children. In time, more cottages will have to be built for the students, and these the students themselves can erect under the instruction of capable teachers. Timber can be prepared right on the ground for this work, and the students can be taught how to build in a creditable manner. We need have no fear of drinking impure water, for here it is supplied freely to us from the Lord's treasure house. I do not know how to be grateful enough for these many advantages, but I feel like putting my whole trust in the Lord, and as long as my life is spared, to glorify my Redeemer. With heart and soul and voice, I praise Him that He has made such wonderful provision for us. I went to Oakland the Monday following my visit to Angwin's, but could only speak twice. The heat was intense, and I could not endure it. I think I shall have to be very careful for a time. I must now close this letter, for I am very tired. But I felt that I could not rest until you knew something about this place. I would be very glad to see you both. If Emma would come, she would find here a delightful place to rest. I think how much she would enjoy the advantages of the Angwin property. And when you feel that you want to get into a good atmosphere, come to us, and we will find a good place for you. It is getting dark, and I cannot see to write more. Letter 110, 1909, pages 1 to 4. To James Edson White, September 17th, 1909. There is a time coming when God will let it be understood that His people are preferred before transgressors, and we need to stand in a position where it can be seen that our dependence is upon God. Then the Lord will open ways before us that we do not now discern, ways by which He will exalt and honor us.
I believe we have seen this in the case of our school location. We thought that in the Buena Vista property at Sonoma, we had secured wonderful advantages. We were much pleased with the place and felt it would answer our purpose, although we knew there would be nearly everything to provide except the one large, costly house. But as time went on and the trade was not completed, although the owner had a portion of the money in his hands, we felt that we were being kept out of the place for some purpose. I counseled our brethren, saying, "Tell them to put us in possession of the place, or to hand us back our money." The next thing I heard was that they had handed back our money. Then the brethren went to work to find another place, and in a little while there came the word that the Angwin property could be secured. Later, when I visited this place and marked its many advantages, I wondered how we could have found another site that would better suit our needs than the one we have found here. During the time of waiting, I did not feel discouraged. I felt that the Lord knew all about our perplexities and our needs. When I would kneel before Him in prayer, I would say, "Lord, You know all about it. You know we have done what we could to secure a school property. You know that our plans have broken up. We have waited long. Now, Lord, give us the place that we should have." And when the word came that this place was found, I said, "The Lord has prepared the way for us. We are very grateful to the Lord of hosts for this possession, for we have here just what we hoped to have in the Buena Vista estate, place where we can study the works of nature, and in the woods and mountains around us, learn of God through His works. And here, by the study of His handiwork, we can learn how to present God to others. I thank God with heart and soul and voice for the abundant advantages we have. We realize that the Lord knew what we needed, and that it is His providence that brought us here. Our disappointment in regard to the Buena Vista estate was great, and it was hard to know that all our expectations concerning it must be given up. But we thank the Lord that the matter has worked out to the glory of God. Let us be thankful, and let us give expression to our thankfulness. God wanted us here, and He has placed us here. I was sure of this as I came on these grounds. The advantages I see in the cultivated soil go far beyond my expectations. And I am thankful that so many are here today to see these things for themselves. I believe that as you walk through these grounds, you will come to the same decision, that the Lord designed this place for us, and that it has been the work of His providence that has brought it into our possession. Now that we need not wait any longer, our school can assemble, and the work begin at once. And at its very beginning, let us determine to walk humbly with God. Let us seek to make such a representation as is given to us in the words I have read to you today. If we will do this, if we will walk in God's ways and keep His charge, the light of heaven will certainly shine upon us. If we will resolve to do our best here, exercising the physical muscles equally with the brain powers, if we will work for the harmonious development of all the powers of the being, the blessing of the Lord will rest upon us in large measure. There is a sanitarium a few miles from here. The two institutions can work together harmoniously. Professor Irwin and his fellow workers, and Dr. Rand and his associate helpers, can cooperate in their efforts.
65, 1909, 2-4. If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge. October 3, 1909. White Estate, Washington, D.C., September 1955.